Hello and welcome to Bites by MSDN. I'm Tim Huckabee, and I'm pleased today because on our show is the world famous Kimberly Tripp. Kimmy, thanks
Timmy,
so much
for coming.
Timmy,
how's it going? I'm nervous being with Timmy, so I have to tell you.
Sequel Skills, you're the founder, president, gal. You've been doing this a long time. Let's jump right into it. Why do developers care about how SQL works? Honestly,
no,
I don't.
This is
care.
Something we've debated on blog posts and on discussions, and it's something that I've found. Developers think that SQL Server is set it and forget it technology. They can create objects, and SQL Server is going to scale because in a lot of cases they will test on, you know, relatively small data subsets, and things perform well, and they think, yeah, it's great. Even with things like Showplan, they'll get recommendations for hints and indexes, and they'll say, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll create this. They see that it performs better. They get positive feedback, and they think, you know what, this is great. They create a few more indexes, and everything is running perfectly. It goes into production. It hits a wall, and it hits a wall because a lot of what is done with smaller data sets doesn't scale. And so as you start to learn about SQL Server and learn more about what's going on, you start to learn why over-indexing can be bad, under-indexing can be bad, how you create your indexes can be either efficient or incredibly inefficient, like GUIDs. We can have that discussion as well. I know you want to have that one.
I really want to talk about GUIDs. No, why can GUIDs be bad for us programmer people?
So from a programming perspective, the whole reason that people use GUIDs is that they're simple. You don't have to reconcile with a central server authority for an ID. I get that. I totally get that. The problem with it is that if you're generating the GUIDs in the client and they're going to the server and you're storing those inside of an index, because you are, and as I just mentioned, indexes can be incredibly good, but if they're not done correctly, you can have all sorts of problems. And this is one of the areas where developers have the biggest problems, because when they have small data sets and they use a GUID and they default that GUID to be a primary key and SQL Server then defaults that to be the clustering key, then what that does is it tells SQL Server that the data should be physically ordered by the GUID. Now, that might not mean much when there's only 1,000 rows, but as you start to get larger and larger tables, what ends up happening, think about it, where does the GUID go? They're random, right? And so when you start to think about that table being physically ordered by something which is completely random, then as the inserts come in, that data has to be put into the table somewhere in the middle. There's probably no room. SQL has to do something called a split. So that what ends up happening is that your left to right order is no longer physical. So you've got some data, then the rest of the data, then some data, some the rest of the data. And a lot of this happens, and you end up wasting cash, wasting disk space, wasting time on the cost of the split. The split actually costs you in logging, which, again, wastes time, and it makes everything slower. So you know me. I start riffing, and you can't shut me up. But my point
oh,
is...
Oh, I can shut you up.
I know.
And
you.
Here I go.
No.
You've piqued my interest. because does SQL Azure change things?
No.
Or do developers still have to pay attention?
No, they totally have to care.
Okay, that is interesting. Because, you know, in Azure, we think about we get automatic scale and elasticity and things like that.
There's a lot that you get in Azure, and I'm not an Azure expert. That I work on... You know, larger systems where they want to have a database administrator and they want to run the systems themselves. So I don't do as much on Azure, but I do know what's going on in that space. And a lot of what goes on in SQL Server is the same. It's a fully contained environment. It is different than running on bare metal, basically, and running your own SQL Server. But as far as the database, as far as the data structures, it really is the same. So you can make equally poor decisions in Azure as you can when you own your own box.
You still don't get architecture for free.
No,
we
you
probably
don't.
Never
you don't.
Will. Now, your sessions are wildly popular because your presentations. Because you teach developer a number of tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Right? The world we don't come from, this SQL type world. So give us your top one or your top five.
To be honest, GUIDs are in my top
there's
two
number
or three.
One. Give me your number two.
Well, I can simplify
more
the
GUIDs
result.
Right.
No, I can just simplify it. If people want to use GUIDs as a primary key, just make it non-clustered. Choose for a clustering key something that won't be so prone to splitting and fragmentation. So something like an identity column that you cluster on, even if you never query it. There's more to it than I think you
Obviously.
Probably want to go into, but you know, non-clustered indexes are tied to what the clustering key is. So if the clustering key is inefficient, then your non-clusters are inefficient. So if you choose a GUID as a clustering key, then non-clusters are less efficient. Whereas if you choose an identity column for your clustering key, then your non-clusereds will be more efficient. And the long story short is that your performance is going to be tied. You know me. Your performance is going to be
tied. Did everyone get that?
He always does this to me. But non-clustereds are the key to better performance. They're the key to looking up your data, analyzing your queries more efficiently. And so you want them to be efficient. Even if you don't query on the ID that's used, the identity column, it still helps the non-clustereds when you're querying for other stuff. So that's number one. Choose a good clustering key. That's number one for developers.
Awesome.
If
great
they could
tip.
Do that, if
great
they could do that.
Tip, Kimmy. I know you could go for hours and
yeah,
hours
I know.
And hours.
He starts me on this.
We have limited time here, so
number
thank
two,
you.
Do you want another one?
Okay, one more.
Now you
no, you don't have time
optimizing
to think about it.
Optimizing procedural code and the way that stored okay. procedures are written and plan caching is an area that I think developers should know better. And I'll keep it simple by saying, recompilation is not always a bad thing. A lot of people think, I want a stored procedure because it's pre-compiled and they're going to get benefits out of that compilation. But there are some cases where certain stored procedures, because of parameter sniffing problems, can become inefficient. And you don't actually want that plan to be compiled and saved because for subsequent executions, it's not efficient.
Makes sense.
So
makes total
recompilation
sense.
Is not bad.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kimmy. I know you could go for hours, but this is all
know,
the
you,
time we
I,
have.
You said you could contain me. I'm not totally convinced.
And thank you guys for watching.